Time probably meant to go together. Let me read it to you. Let me read you Psalms 42. Then we will pray and talk about it. All right? Psalms 42. We know that this is to the chief musician, which were the sons of Korah. They were kind of like the choir at the temple. That's what they did. But the song or poem was about something somebody was going through. I personally believe it was David when he was being chased by his son, trying to kill him and take over the kingdom. That had to be something that would try you, don't you think? And so listen to the words that this writer penned. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I am gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth upon deep at the noise of the water spouts. All Thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, in my prayer unto God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance, and my God. Let's pray again. Father, Lord, tonight I just pray for the next few moments that You might help us remember our studies. But Lord, I would pray that this passage might resonate in our minds and our hearts tonight. Because Lord, I believe that every person sitting in this room tonight knows someone or them themselves have been in a time of anxiety, depression, discouragement. Some might be right there tonight. So Lord, I would pray that these words from Your Word tonight might find a landing place in our hearts. And we might find encouragement in them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 20 years ago, this month, if you told me you was depressed or you had anxiety, I would have said, suck it up and get on with life. But 20 years ago, March, my life changed. I had open heart surgery. And if you've never had open heart surgery, you would not understand this. But somebody like Jason would understand. When they open your heart and handle it with human hands, you become more emotional than you've ever been in your life. You cry when you don't know why you're crying. You have feelings you never knew you had. And all of that came like a rushing waterfall in my life. I found myself amongst many of you all trying to get back into pastoring again after 3 weeks of not doing anything and not sure about going to the mission field. Let me describe the last 20 years for you. 2003, I had heart surgery. Before that year was over, I would have two more heart procedures. A pacemaker would be implanted. I would get an infection that same year that would put me in the hospital. The next year, more heart issues. The next year, pretty good run, go back to the mission field and get malaria, which set me way back again. Finally, through that process, got better. Rochelle and I, along with Sarah and Aaron, Josh had already kind of went on his own, ended up with two other kids, Ingrid and Vanessa, 1 6, 1 8-year-old. And we began the adoption process through that. Toward the end of that adoption process, I got so sick, I had to come back stateside. But we had nobody to watch the kids. This is 2008 now. And Rochelle was left behind in Belize, her, Aaron, and those two little kids. And I don't know if I can explain to you what I went through 2008 that year. But it was misery. I longed to be with Rochelle and our family be together. We went through a lot of things that year. We had exchange students of all things to throw on top of that. And Rochelle was with me part of the time, but by April of that year, 2008, she had to go down and stay, and she stayed till Christmas of that year without coming home one time. I cried myself to sleep some nights. I longed for her. And some particular night through that process, I read this psalm. And it's almost like God asked me this question, Brother Paul. Have you ever longed for me like you're longing for your wife? And Phyllis, I said no. I'd never longed for God like that. And what God was showing me through that process of time was it was Him that I was needing. Not necessarily to be with my wife. That was an important thing. But there was a bigger need in my life because while I was depressed and discouraged, I was not with God. I preached every Sunday for some of you all. I did my pastoral things. But I was not in a relationship with God that I needed. All I wanted was my wife back and my family back together. And I began to seek God like I was trying to find Rochelle back. Now I'm telling you, things began to come together. I went down and spent some time with her and the kids, and before that year was over, we all came home. And God had put our family back together. 2009, we started this work. 2012, I got cancer. Was given about a 5-year diagnosis. Got through all of that in 2015. Had heart failure. Talked about putting me on a heart transplant list. Ended up with a defibrillator. 2016, had a stroke. And ended up in the hospital over here, then on to Cardinal Hill. 2018, 2019, two more strokes on top of that. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I need another 20 years like this last ones have been. But let me tell you what I've learned through those 20 years. Because I went 20 years without any of that kind of stuff. Running wide open. And at 39, I'm having open heart surgery. And now I'm 59. If everything goes well, I should make 60 by May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo. And I think the next 20 years are going to be good. They're looking up. Let me tell you what I've learned. I've learned that everything I feel ain't necessarily true. Now, some of the stuff I'm going to say tonight, you might need to write it down or you might need to go back and listen. But that one statement is a statement I'm going to make often. The things you think to be true may not be true. You and I, when we find ourselves discouraged and depressed, you are a prime candidate for the devil. If I could draw a picture in your mind, I'd take you to Africa and I'd take you where those gazelles are out on the plains and there's a weak one. And there's a prime of lions over here and they are chasing them gazelles. How many seen that before on Discovery Channel? And eventually the weak one, they catch. Now how many of you, when the gazelle is caught by the lion, go, yeah! If you are, you're a sick person. But we all feel for the gazelle. Why? You know why? Because you relate to the gazelle. Because the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And whether you know it or not, your depression, your anxiety is being attacked by the devil. It's one of the greatest things he can attack in your life. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if he can get you to think down, you'll continue to go down. And I think God in this psalm, as David I think is the writer, and these musicians are putting into words, I think God helps me understand exactly where he was, but also how he got out of it. And I want to say this before I get to the conclusion. I think it leaves us hanging in the end. Read the last verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. I'm not an English major. That's why I got Julie in here. But she's going to let you know that I'm telling you the truth. That means it's not happened yet. I will yet praise you. It's going to come. Right now I'm not in the praising mode, Deborah, but it's going to come. And he leaves it just like that. I put, if you want a title, I can't praise you now. Scott, I'm being honest. Has there ever just been a time and a situation in your life that you just can't praise him right now? And you feel a little guilty about that? You almost feel a little sick that you even thought that? But you're being honest with yourself and say, I just can't praise you right now. That's what you're reading tonight. Walk with me through the process. Understand that this man is under attack. I tell you, there's a song I wish I could sing. I love music. Music is what helps me get through life. I'm being honest with you. I'm a daily guy with my earbuds in. I'm going to move up a notch to hearing aids. I need them. Some of you look at me and say, he don't understand what I'm saying. And it's true. I'm not hearing you really well. I just need to get them bought. I got to find a pair I can afford. Okay? So I don't know when people die, they give their hearing aids away. If they do, I might need to get some of them. But they make them now that you can like answer your phone with and listen. I need that. Every day I put them in. I listen to the Word of God and I listen to music and it encourages me. There's a song. I think the song is back in about the 80s. As a deer panteth for the water, so my... Y'all, how many's heard that song? If you haven't, not now, but after church, Google it. Listen to it on the way home. It's an awesome song. It's wrote from here. The guy who wrote it in a sad time in his life and he wrote it after he read this psalm. So listen, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water. I'm becoming a deer expert, John. And I don't even hunt anymore. I kind of like looking at them. But here's what I found out in my deer research. Y'all can check me out, okay? A deer only pants one time. My dog, take that back, Rochelle's dog. If I show up at home tonight, it's sitting on the front porch, all right? Waiting on her to get home, not me. She about knocks me down to get to Rochelle. She walks in the door like she has run 50 miles panting. John has never pulled a deer up on the deer cam panting. Because when deer walk into that area where they're feeding, they're not running from nothing. Deer only pant when they're being chased. So when I read this psalm, I know, number one, he's talking about being chased. Anybody in the room tonight or watching online feels like you're being chased. That's anxiety. It feels like it's chasing you. And that's how this guy's describing it. He said, I'm just like a deer that's been chased and I'm panting. And here's what else I read about a deer panting. They lose 80% of their water, Scott, when they're running. So that's why a gazelle, when he's being chased by a lion, is looking for water. That's why deer, when you're hunting and they're being chased, you'll find them usually around water. They've lost 80% of their water while they're being chased and panting. So this deer, he's describing it as, he said, it's my soul. What is your soul? We're going to talk about that a couple times tonight. What's your soul? Mind, body, spirit, right? It is who you are. When did you get one? That's your question. When did you get a soul? Who said that? You got it, Carter. You're on the money, buddy. When I was born, I got myself a soul. Well, when you were conceived, you got yourself a soul. Can I tell you this? Your personality showed up when you were born. I guarantee Amanda and Scott can look at this little short boy they got, and I've known him a long time. That personality was the same personality that he had when he wasn't 6'6". Liam's personality was the same personality. I've known him from the time he got here. He was born with that personality. That's your soul. And so he talks about it. He said, My soul panteth after thee, O God. He knows that it's God who he needs. And he's going to explain why. He said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Here's somebody who's not missing his wife, but here's somebody who's missing God. And let me tell you why. Because he's being chased, he's got chased away from Jerusalem, and he's got chased away from the temple. He's not been able to go worship, and he's going to talk about that in just a second. He's missing church. Man, I wish I could get people who's missing church to miss church. Can I say it again? I wish I could get people who's missing church to miss church. You know, when the pandemic went on, I came in kind of in the middle, tail end of it, and people started coming back. You know what they kept saying when they walked back in the building? Oh, I've missed this. Oh, I've missed this. And there's some who's not made it yet. And I want you to know, I hope you're missing this. A longing you need to have is for God, the living God. Now, there's going to be some things you'll learn about this tonight. If you're watching and you're missing this, there's something you can do till you get here. God don't live in the building. You can meet Him where you're at if you want to. But you need this. And He was missing this. I got four things, maybe three, maybe four. I wrote them down like, I don't know if that's... Let's go with four. We'll see if it turns to three. Number one, recognize you're in a battle. You got to know that you are in a battle that the devil can win if you let him. I think about this time of year. We just come through holidays, one of the saddest times for some people. They've lost loved ones. This is the first year without them. There's discouragement. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's all kinds of stuff that go with this. There's loneliness. And you know what the devil does? He goes on that. He tacks on that. And he just wants to keep bringing you down. There's marital couples tonight who the devil's telling you that y'all don't belong together. You're too much different. You're too different. And I'm like, praise God you're different. I couldn't be married to me. Good Lord. I got divorced a long time ago if I was married to me. There's just no way. That's why God puts opposites together. There's got to be one of you who want to be everywhere on time, and then there's another one of you, I'll leave that alone. Let's just not go there. God puts opposites together. But the devil can step in there, and he can make you think what's not real to be real. So I put this down. Write this down if you don't care. What you're going through is real. The thoughts you got, they're real. They are real as I can get you to get. They're real. They're real thoughts. Somebody who's going through anxiety, somebody who's going through depression, it's real. If you're in this room and say, you need to get over, take a pill. Listen, it's real. I've been there, it's real. Now listen to point two under that. It's a lie. It's a real lie. That oxymoron, they call it. Is that what that is? It's a real lie. I know you're going to look at me like, I think you need some sleep. I probably do. But let me give you a biblical answer. A biblical answer to what I just said. There's a guy in the Old Testament named Joseph. His brothers took him. Put him in a pit. Anybody know what they did with his coat? Dipped it in the blood, didn't they, Mama? What else they do? Took it down to his dad, and what did they say? He died. What happened? How'd he die? An animal killed him. Mom, you're on the ball. An animal killed him. So here the boys come back, bloody coat, give it to his dad, and said what? A wild animal just killed our baby brother. I wonder, Scott, every once in a while, you reckon Jacob grabbed that coat and pulled it out and just kind of, sure missed my boy. Was that real? Was it a lie? But he believed it. Can I tell you this? The devil can be real convincing. He can make you think what you're thinking is the truth. But it's a lie. Now keep going with me. Look on down. Look at verse 9 and 10. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? I underline in verse 3, while they continue. Who are they? I use that all the time. They say that. Who are they? We base everything on they. Who are they? In this story, they were the enemy. You ever thought about that? They may be the enemy. They say this, they say that. Didn't we go through that with COVID? They say. And then what? They say. I didn't know who to believe. They? Who's they? Care? I don't know who they is. Here's what the writer here says. They continually say. And you realize they's the enemy. Can I tell you tonight? The enemy is going to say whatever they got to say to keep bringing you down. Number two. Stop listening to yourself. Read verse 4 with me. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Now, what do you think it means when he says, I pour out my soul in me? What did I say your soul was? It's who you are, right? Your feelings, your mind, will, and emotion. So he said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Watch. For I had, past tense, gone with the multitude. I could almost hear a tear in his voice. I remember when I used to go to church with the people. He goes on to say, I went with them to the house of God. Can you hear him? With the voice of joy and praise. I used to be happy. I used to enjoy church. I used to love to get together with everybody. Can you hear him? He's pouring out his soul in himself. And listen, I wrote this down. Don't try to help yourself when you're depressed. You can't believe anything you say to yourself when you're depressed. You can't. You can't believe yourself. I'm going to explain that, but stay with me. With the voice of joy, with the multitude that kept holy day. Here's a guy that's just broke down. He's thinking within himself. And I'm going to tell you something. If he keeps listening to that, Katrina, I don't know where he's going to end up. You and I, we keep listening when we're discouraged, when we're depressed. And you know what? We can take ourselves so far down, I don't know if you'll ever get up. Anybody know anything I'm talking about? It is the real deal. Discouragement, depression, anxiety, it's all built inside of us. And we begin to listen to it. Now, he said, I think it was like verse 7, he said, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. What is that water spout? Best I could describe it would be Cumberland Falls in your vicinity. If you ever get a chance, go to Niagara Falls and hear that roar of that water. He said, it's just like a roar coming over me. He said, it just kept coming on me. Do you ever feel like that? It just keeps coming and coming. How much more can I take? That's what he's saying. It just kept coming. Number 3. What was number 2? Stop listening to yourself. Number 3 is start talking to yourself. And I put beside it the right way. See, there's something that's going to get intervened here that's a real important part. It's the Spirit of God. I don't know if this fits or not. Some of the older, white-haired people can go home and analyze it and then come back and tell me. But in Genesis, it talks about, in Jacob and Esau's day, about the older serving the younger. How many of you remember that? So let me give you all something to ponder. How old is my soul? How old is my soul? Old as me. So it's 59 years and 7 months. How old is my saved spirit? It happened in 1976. Y'all want to do the math there, all right? Which is older? Which is older? My soul. I think this applies. I think my soul needs to serve my spirit. Not let my soul have control, but my spirit needs control. Amen on me. I got to be careful what I'm listening to because I have an old man, Paul, living in me. And I have a new man living in me. If I'm not careful, I listen to the wrong one. So the old one needs to serve the younger one. Y'all can check me. I don't know. Think about it at the barn tomorrow. I think it's true. I think it's true. I need to let the spirit that's in me now begin to talk to me. You hear me now? Don't listen to the soul part, Scott, because he's all messed up right now. He's all emotional, man. He's thinking about stuff, and he's thinking about, well, 99% don't have anything. Yeah, but you got 1% you do. Oh, no. So now the soul starts whispering in there. Well, wait a minute. You got to be careful who you listen to. But when you start talking back to yourself, it needs to be the Spirit of God talking. Now, I'm going to help y'all. You better use the Word of God when you do that. The greatest thing you're ever going to get during your anxiety and your discouragement is what Patrick's holding up. Hold it up again. Let him see it. It's a King James Bible. Black leather with the two little striped things that you put there to mark your pages. And it's okay to take a highlighter and mark on it. You need that book. That's God's Word. You enter into God's Word. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? I will hide His words in my heart. Remember saying that in BBS? Isn't that good? Isn't it important? It is. So listen. Don't listen to yourself, but talk to yourself the right way. Let me give you a scripture. Go to Psalms 131. Psalms 131, just a couple pages over. Now don't leave me. I'm going to bring you to a conclusion of this thing that I could have gave you at the beginning. We should have done being home or out eating right now. But I didn't want you to get out early. Psalms 131, just a big long psalm. It's three verses, okay? Look at verse number 2. I love it. Surely, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul even is as a weaned child. What does he say? How's a weaned child act? You just cut the kid off. How's it going to do? It's going to squall. Thank you, Deborah. That's good English. Squall. I've watched 8 grandbabies get weaned. Well, 7. One of them ain't quiet yet. But I'm telling you what, they've all squalled and tried to find and hunted. And that's how David described that. He said, my soul is like a weaned baby who just got weaned, searching and reaching and trying to find something. Isn't that how we are when we're discouraged? Just trying to get an answer somewhere to just give us some peace. I just need to sleep. Yes? All right. I get to do number 4 because I think it works. Look at verse 5, verse 11, and in chapter 43, verse 5. And I'll quit with you. But I want you to see this. How in the world do we get through? How's this guy going to get through it? Watch verse 5. Why art thou cast down? What's it mean to be cast down? The original language says pressed down. All I think about is pushing something down. Isn't that depression, right? Pressed down? Like you're depressed to gas fee? Why are you cast down or depressed down? What? Oh, my soul. That your mind, will, and emotion. That's what's discouraged. That's what's beat down. Now watch. Why art thou... Y'all tell me that word. That's a word y'all use a lot. How many of you used that word this week? I know Brother Greg at work probably said, hey, I'm disquieted. Anybody want to just jump on that word? Well, the word's in there, you know, quieted. What would be disquieted? Say it, Julie. Not quiet. Not quiet. You know what he's saying? It's getting louder. You ever been sitting with somebody? This happened yesterday with me and Rochelle. You ever been sitting with somebody and their belly starts going? She says, that you or me? I said, I'm not sure yet. Then it got louder, Paul. I believe it's me. She said, I think it's me. And I didn't know if they were talking to each other. I wasn't sure. But it wasn't disquieted. It was getting louder. And what David is saying is,
this thing within me, it keeps getting louder. It keeps getting louder. Satan is not quiet. See, Jesus comes to us, Katrina, with that still small voice. Satan comes with a big mouth. Loud. Making lots of noise in your life. Can you hear me now? You know what he's saying? Where's your God? See, 2008, trying to serve God. My wife's in another place. We've adopted kids and I don't know if we're ever going to get them here. Trying to decide if we even made a good decision or not. And Satan starts getting loud, Mama. Oh, you've been preaching and doing all this for God. Where's your God now? I mean, it's just like he's hollering in my ear. Where's your God now? Where's your wife at? Oh, your wife's in another country. Well, if something happens to her, where's your God at? Scotty just kept getting louder. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just keeps bringing it up, Lona. Just keeps bringing it up. That's exactly how the devil works. It is. And this writer is describing it. Now, oh, I wish I could get you to see this. Let me try it. Look at verse 5. Watch real close. Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Now watch. Watch close. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Now I'm going to check your reading ability. This is stuff you learn at Cardinal Hill when you're going through rehab. So I'm going to give you a little quick lesson. Then we'll go home. Tell me the difference in verse 5 and verse 11. Verse 5 said, For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Verse 11 says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Sounds the same. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the help of my countenance and my God. What was the difference? Two words. Do you see them? Anybody see them? You see them? Let me help you. Verse 5. Help for I will yet praise Him for the help of what? His countenance. What is countenance? Face. I will yet praise Him because of His face. Now watch verse 11. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my face. Oh man, when I saw this, I thought, "Woo! If I wasn't Baptist, I'd run right now." It's one of them running things, Brother Greg. I almost like take my coat off and just start taking laps. Sometimes I just need to look at His face. And then my face will reflect it. Some of you all need to do this. I'm serious. You're not doing a good job hiding it. You're not. People come into church and they're troubled and they think they can hide that. You cannot hide, Greg, what's going on inside. You can't hide it on your face. You can try your best. But I'm telling you what, we see through that. Be honest. How many saw somebody, you ask them how they were, they said they're fine, and you and your wife on the way home, you're driving. You know, she said she was fine, but I know something's going on. Just me thing? I'm just the only guy that analyzes people. Really. We got a lot of people discouraged. We got a lot of trouble going on. We got a lot of anxiety and pressures. Different reasons why. Same results. The devil's just like attack, 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 attack. You're panting, needing water. You're like, I don't know how much longer I can run. You run into church and you
We're all good over here. Hey, we're good. We're good. No, you're not. No, you're not. There's a lot of stuff on your mind. Those wrinkles right there shows it, Scott. I mean, they're right there like, y'all with me? You can see it. And David says, or whoever the writer is says, I looked in his face. Isn't there a song about that? When I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his... Isn't that in the song? If it ain't, it should be. And all of a sudden, my face begins to change. Because all of a sudden, the one I've been needing all this time, the one I've been needing to praise with, the one that I need to be sharing the joy with, the one I've been needing. And I thought all this other stuff was what... But it really was Him all the time. Jesus is who I needed. And that's exactly what the writer says, is it not? Oh my God. When I see Jesus, according to Jesus, I've seen the Father. We need Jesus. I don't know if this is helping or not, but I would pray when you go home tonight and you get ready to crawl on that pillow, these things may start coming in there. Because I know in this room and on that line, there are people discouraged, depressed, troubled. And life is showing it. Here. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things on earth will grow. That would make a song, wouldn't it? That would make a song. And things on earth would grow strangely dim. I'm telling you, I could be a songwriter. We need this. The psalmist felt like... And he's listening to himself and it's getting worse. But then he started listening to the Spirit of God. You know that same David? You know what he'd do sometimes, Sue? He'd get his harp out. He played himself some music. One time in the book of Samuel, he said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He knew how to get out of it. We also knew how to get in it. All of us know how to get in it. I'm just saying, can you get out of it? You can. Hope in the Lord. Stand with me and we'll pray. Father, tonight I pray. I pray this week as we go forward. May not be a person in this room that needed this tonight, but there's somebody that the people in this room knows that needs this. Where they need to put their eyes upon. What they don't need to listen to. And what they do need to listen to. We need to know today that anxiety is real. Depression is real. Also, the devil is lying to us. So Lord, tonight I know that what I need is You. And I just need to put my face upon Your face. Get my eyes back on You. Just like Peter when he was sinking, he looked and saw Jesus and cried out. Lord, tonight that's exactly all we need tonight. We just need You. And Lord, I believe the reflection on our face when we see Your face will tell the whole story. So Lord, be with us tonight as we go through this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What we're singing, Dove.